Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Hey, welcome to the Beastcast, and today we're going to have a little interview with Jared Terrifying. It was really cool to talk to him, so we're going to start in a second, in a couple of minutes. I'm going to put in a cool song, and after that, the interview is going to start. Stay tuned for an awesome interview. We talked about music, video games, all kinds of stuff, life, so stay tuned. Now listen to a cool song.
Today is my birthday, and I wish a game. A little arcade, but I don't know the name. Is it Deflector, or was it Protector? My name is Dissector. I'll get erect when I deflect. Am I wrecked?
The Gaming Beast. This is Beastcast number six, I guess. And we have here Jared Terrifying with us, who is also helping me out with the recording. How are you doing, Jared?
I am doing good. It's nice to be here.
Sweet, sweet. How's the weather over there?
Starting to get cool. Got some orange leaves on the ground. It's getting a little rainy and cold, but I like fall time weather, so I'm digging it.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, especially if you live in a really hot area, it's nice to have some.
Well, I've got, like, during the summertime, I try not to play my PS3 or 360 because it gets so bastard hot in here. With this with this big TV, it's a little room. It'll be like 90 degrees in here, so I don't want to have like a 7-hour gaming session while it's, you know, that hot. So this time of year, I throw the box fan in the window. It's like nice, cool 50, 60 degrees, and I just play the shit out of my video games.
Nice, nice. Those two consoles, they do tend up to heat up a lot, don't they?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And a lot of it is the big-ass TV. Like, you know, if it's hot in here during the summer, this big-ass TV, sitting as close to it as I do, you can just feel the heat pouring off of it and baking you alive. So that plus those going, it's... Yeah, I'd rather not risk it. So
I remember when we were kids, when I was younger, we used to play the old Commodore 64 when I was at my cousin's, and we had brought us our Nintendo. So we would in the daytime we would go out and do some crazy shit, like, you know, like play with wooden swords and whatever. And then at night we would come in and come back and eat and go and play some C64 NES. Yeah, because in the daytime, like, our parents wouldn't even let us in. But I remember we had these old, shitty old TVs that you could get, like, in communist Hungary or whatever, these old freaking things. Like, you would turn them off, and there would be a point. The whole screen would shrink into a point, and it would stay there for a while.
Yeah.
I remember where I lived, actually, there we had a summer house there, which became the house where we moved eventually. But back then it was just the summer house. We were just renovating it, and we had this old TV, and I brought my Super Nintendo. I was playing Super Nintendo with my cousin. We had this big old ass TV. It was, you know, like, I don't know, like the nerd also said, it's like an Atari or something like that, or like an older console.
Yeah, that atmosphere where you've got the old TV, it's summer, you got the windows open, you hear the crickets, it's 4 in the morning, and you're just playing the hell out of some video games.
Exactly.
It's, I don't know, it's one of those like nostalgic feelings. For me, I remember it was the summer of probably 2000 or 2001. And my parents were on vacation, and I was home alone. So I had the house to myself for a week. So it's like 3 a.m. I'm butt naked, eating steak and Doritos, playing Nintendo. And it was just like the, you know, most teenager moment of my life. Because, like, fuck, it ain't no one here. I'm just going to let it all hang out, eat this fucking steak. I didn't have a knife or fork, man. I was just eating that piece of steak and just biting that shit and playing Nintendo.
Real manly stuff, yeah. I used to do that too, like when I was in college. That was not too long ago, you know. It was like I'd wake up when it was like weekend or whatever. I made my schedule was so that Friday would be free, so I would have always a 3-day weekend. So I would just come home and just like, whatever, just go on the net, watch Netflix or play video games or just like get some freaking pizza or something. I gained a lot of weight, actually. Was not good. I started again working out more. I actually lost some weight, but I still have ways to go. I'm better though, so. Because I'm not used to it. I used to be always a skinny guy. Well, not totally skinny, but skinnier, like not fat, you know. Yeah, man, it's good times. Oh, man, I mean, the truth is, when I'm telling you that I was playing when I was a little kid, I did play the games, but usually when my older brother and my older cousin were there, usually they were playing, and us younger cousins would just watch.
Yeah.
You probably know that feeling. I think most
Really. Like, I've got an older brother, but he's 10 years older than me. So, you know, by the time I was 4, you know, old enough to have memories and want to do things. Yeah, by the time I was old enough to want to do things and have memories, he was out, you know, chasing girls and getting into trouble. So, and, you know, by the time I was 8, he was fucking gone. So it's almost like I was a single child, except for, like, a bunch of horrible traumatic experiences of me and him fighting.
My cousin, he had an accident or whatever. That's, but he's getting better. But when we were younger, we used to get into fights with each other, you know, and it wasn't like serious, you know.
I remember like the headaches and like how bad my fucking head hurt from screaming so loud and how much I wanted to murder my brother. One time I stabbed him. Like, I was, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years old, and I stabbed him with a screwdriver. And I'm pretty sure all he got was, like, a little scratch, but I was trying to kill him. I have no idea what we were fighting about, but I was out for fucking blood. And,
It usually wasn't that bad. I mean, I know my other cousin told me that he used to live there by my older cousin. He's a little bit younger than my brother, but him and my brother usually always hung out. And then I hung out with my other cousin, Andrew. And he's almost exactly my age. He's like a month older. So we would hang out and they would hang out. And that's how we usually played too. Like, whatever we played, it was always like tag team or whatever. Oh yeah, one really cool video. One of the best video game experiences I had. Me and my cousin were playing a fighting game. Actually, there's two fighting games where we had a complete draw. One of them was Street Fighter. I almost never had a draw in Street Fighter, like very rarely. But one time that was, we were playing Street Fighter for so long, and we were pretty evenly matched. And once we just it was Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yeah,
and in that one, that's one of the ones where, like, for example, what is it? E Honda is completely unbalanced. Like, a lot of people would just spam his 1,000 punch attack constantly.
Yeah, that slap attack.
It's really annoying, actually. Although if you're smart and if you're like Ryu or Ken, then you can just shoot him from afar with the fireballs.
Yeah, a lot of characters do have fireballs, so that's really not that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hard to get around.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you can also try to jump around and kick him or something. Also, have you noticed that Blanca and E Honda have almost the same exact moves, and also the same exact way to do them? Like
Well, there's like the different class of fighters, you know. It's not quite the same as Ken and Ryu, where they're just basically palette swaps.
Yeah, it's actually funny because Ken has also the giant bushy eyebrows, but they're like long, like Gandalf eyebrows or something.
There's like the Shoto clones, the charge characters. Like, I don't like the charge moves where you gotta like hold back for 3 seconds. I don't like that.
Yeah, I rarely use them. The only one I could use and I would spam it when I was a kid. I loved M. Bison. M. Bison was the man because he had, like, superpowers and he was, like, evil and he would fuck shit up.
Yeah.
I loved that. And my favorite suit was the gray suit. And I loved how they just, in the movie, which I think was actually a fun movie, much better than the one that they recently made with Chun-Li.
Oh, I absolutely adore that movie.
I mean, the thing is, people don't understand, the game was already silly. And they just made it like more or less exactly like the game. So
it was fun. It has a couple of funny lines. When the security camera footage of the truck rolling down a hill getting ready to take out the
tenter. Change the channel!
Yeah,
yeah, that's Zangief is gold. He was one of the best cast guys. Worst cast guys was Ken. I'll admit that. But anyway, so what was it again?
Ken was actually from the, according to Wikipedia or maybe IMDb, Ken's actually from the same town I'm from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
So's Martin Sheen, actually. Other than that, I don't think there's any
Art Machine. That's kind of random. So maybe you will meet Ken on the street, and then you can tell him, hey, your dragon.
I certainly hope not.
You should tell him your Dragon Punch really sucked in the movie.
Oh, wasn't that terrible?
That was the worst. Even the invisible shitty Hadouken from Ryu was better. Like, some of the moves were actually really good. Like, when Van Damme did the flash kick, that was pretty cool. And when, what was the other good move I liked?
Did Cammy do a bird kick?
There's actually a deleted scene where Cammy and Chun-Li fight for a short period. Like, right in the when they're in the tent, you know? Yeah. And just right before the shit hits the fan and, you know, the car comes down. Right before that, when Chun-Li sneaks in, or Cammy sneaks in or something, and then they start fighting. Oh, yeah, by the way, Kylie Minogue, just from the looks, and she has the accent, one of the best casts. Because she has the ass for that role, basically. and what I loved in the movie, in the very end, they actually went into their stances, you know?
Yeah. It was a fun movie, man. I liked it as a kid, and it's so cheesy that it's hard not to like.
Yes, people don't understand. Like, when I was a kid and I saw this trailer in the movie, in the TV, I was like, holy shit. This is like, I couldn't see Star Wars in the movies originally, you know, but I have this, you know.
Yeah.
The only trailer that, as a kid, was even better was the Mortal Kombat trailer. I shit bricks when I saw that. By the way, Mortal Kombat and video game movies, they have not gone anywhere. They just, thanks to people like Uwe Boll, they just stayed really, really shitty. I think most people have given up that there's going to be a good video game based.
You know there's a new Mortal Kombat coming out next year.
I like the series. Have you seen the series?
No. I know it's made by the same guy. Like, you know, I cover that kind of news in the podcast and shit, but... I've never seen the web series. I'm honestly not a big fighting game fan. So my interest is very casual. And you know,
I'm a big MK fan. I always was. I always loved the. I mean, in that way, you know, I was a kid and a teenager in the 90s. You know, so for me, Mortal Kombat was like, awesome.
Hold on, let me find it. There's this picture I saw on a website that's kind of relevant to that. I'm gonna have to.
Although, you know, you said Ryu and Ken are palette swaps, and Mortal Kombat is even worse with their.
Oh, yeah.
With their rainbow ninjas.
At least Ken and Ryu kind of look different.
The worst character is Noob Saibot. I mean, he's just a ninja but completely black, and I'm like. And he's called Noob. And I know it's Tobias Boone backwards, but he's still Noob. Aussie's completely unbalanced in most of the games. In Trilogy, they kind of balance him out. He has this tick, this combo where it's just like a low kick, low kick, low kick, and it's like really strong. And you can do a missed ball that doesn't hurt the enemy, but the enemy can't attack, so it's completely unfair.
I've actually been playing King of Fighters 96. I've been playing that online against one of my buddies from the website.
Oh, nice.
And, it's been an absolute blast. This has been the most fun I've had with a fighting game, actually, because we were both going into it kind of ignorant of SNK fighters, so we're each figuring out each character and figuring out how to whoop on each other's asses.
And, that's the best way, honestly, to play, because if somebody is really good, then it's really frustrating. But
yeah.
If both of you don't know, then it's really cool. You're experimenting. You have a bunch of characters, you're trying out this one, or you're trying out that. Okay, I like this one. Or you find your right character, and then you start getting good.
Yeah, that's pretty much been my experience, is either playing against the computer, or going online and just getting decimated. And that's not very fun.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of how it is with, like, a lot of the online shooters, like Modern Warfare 2. I used to play it a lot with my cousin. And I did get better after a while, but I knew that I would have to practice a lot more. I've got like 70 hours in that game. And I'm like, I think a level 30, which is not too bad, but it's not really that great. Because I think you can go up to level 70, and then you can start it again to get the extra prestige or something. And my cousin, he's got like over 400 hours in that game. He's got like almost every freaking achievement and prestige shit and every weapon that you can get, almost.
Like, jeez.
This is crazy. Movies based on video games. A lot of them were just based on fighting games, and most of them just sucked.
Sometimes they're fun. I enjoyed the Double Dragon movie. I know it's really goofy, but I always liked watching it.
I hated it. Although I did enjoy Alyssa Milano in that one part when she like about when she like goes through the thing and you can see her nice.
There's
behind.
An article on my They're fighting to go in behind her. There's an article on the website that. I either have a screen cap or I show the video from that, and
when I was a kid, I was very iffy with Double Dragon, but I kind of enjoy it now as a goofy 90s movie. It was everything that was bad about the 90s, Double Dragon, seriously. I love how it's like, in the future of 2007, there's not going to be any air.
It was a fun movie. I liked it. Andy Dick is in it. He's like the weatherman.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
It's like all this random goofy stuff.
Andy Dick is in a lot of weird movies, isn't he? He just like pops up. It's like Andy Dick. Like, he's just there.
Yeah, a little bit of a weird fella.
Well, he's called freaking Andy Dick. You know, I always thought there has been a lot of video games that should have been done into movies. And there's video games that I think should never be done into movies. But I think Final Fight would make a good movie because it's basically based off most fighting games, you know? The typical fighting movies where you have the...
If it was done right, it could be good, but...
I don't have any hope anymore.
Yeah, I have zero faith in that ever happening. I mean, Resident Evil made a bad zombie movie. How do you even fucking do that?
It wasn't even, like, what I hated as a kid is that when I watched Resident Evil, I went, this is supposed to be gory and scary and, like, why
Oh, well, but kids play video games and they want to sell the movie to kids, so it has to be PG-13.
The game was rated R. Also, I hated how there was they changed a bunch of things, and they were like, I mean, the first one was okay, but I remember one of the worst parts on the very end when, you know, when they were fighting the monster, which was supposed to be the really cool looking monster, which looked kind of lame. It was okay, I guess, but in the very end, me and my cousin would always point at that when they were getting away with the train, and the monster dies, and it's them burning, and the fire looks so fake, even for the time. I guess they just ran out of money at that time.
One I really enjoyed, Silent Hill. I enjoyed Silent Hill.
You know, there's a lot of Silent Hill people. I didn't play Silent Hill yet. I kind of know what it's about, but they said that the movie sucked, but I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was pretty good.
I've never played Silent Hill either. I bought Silent Hill after watching the movie. I bought the first one, and I played like maybe halfway into it. But when you go into this kind of movie situation, I don't know if people are expecting them to recreate it exactly as it was, because you can't make a 17-hour movie that doesn't work. So you've got to adapt it and change it and make things work for a movie audience, a general movie audience.
You know what I heard is that somebody's planning to do a... You remember in the Doom movie that was horrible, which is really sad because I always...
Oh, God, that was awful, man. That when the towards blah, 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 the part at the end where they go into the first-person view.
Exactly.
I think it's... it's not Crypt Killer, House of the Dead maybe, where they actually have, like, they splice in scenes from the video game. Like, when they transition to a different scene, it'll show, like, a quick, like, 1 second flashing on the screen of video game graphics from, like...
I haven't seen House of the Dead. I've seen most of the other Overballs.
It is painfully bad that they just Like, let's throw in a couple of snippets of the game to transition to the next scene.
Oh, the Balls movies are a complete different dimension of Suckfest. I mean, it's really sad because he had some really good franchises like Blood Rain, and which he's pummeling down to the ground. And, like, what is it? I think the worst, one of the worst movies was Alone in the Dark, because I really liked Alone in the Dark, and I was hoping that it would be based off the first game, but it seemed like it wasn't based off any of the games, and it was just called Alone in the Dark, and they were never alone in the dark.
What's sad is
Tara Reid with her shitty, with her
what's
messed
really
up boobs.
Really sad is that he must be making money because he keeps getting more licenses and making more movies.
It's basically a German tax trick or something. Basically, when his movie fails, he gets the money back. Like, it's
nice.
I remember that was the he made.
So he's just trolling the world, basically.
He's a huge troll. Now he's just in it for the trolling. I mean, he now made a film. You know, he made the third Blood Rain movie. The second one was in the Wild West. And now the third one, finally, is Blood Rain. How the game was her fighting Nazis. But, and he's like playing constantly a Nazi now for some reason. He wants to like, he wants to push that he's the asshole or something, the German asshole. And the side, when they were filming, apparently, Blood Rain 3, they were filming another movie called Blobberella. And I've seen the trailer. Oh, my God. This is... He's like Ed Wood, but he knows he's incapable, and he's just doing it for the lols, I guess. And in that movie, he plays Hitler, but he can't worth act a damn, and it just looks so silly. But whatever, it's depressing.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around that if the movie fails, he gets his money back. So then, you know, I mean, they should forfeit DVD sales or any movie that it or any money that it does make should go back to the fucking government or something.
He needs to, that law basically, if that law, that loophole, that tax loophole ends, somebody can finish it, Uwe Boll's career is ended, because even now he has major issues with funding. I remember, what was it, Stuttering Craig and Handsome Tom, they like invested, because that was like a, eBay. Uwe Boll went to eBay and said, "If you pay $20,000 or something like that, then you get a role in the movie." And apparently, they did get the role because they paid it, but their scenes were never used, which I think is a douchebag move. Like, you pay fucking $20,000 and you want to be in the movie. Then it was the Prey movie, and he has his little like circle jerk group of. There's always the same actors in every movie, and of course Christina Loken, because that's his girlfriend.
Yeah,
although she is pretty hot still, I guess. Christina Loken, by the way, she was in the original Mortal Kombat series, Mortal Kombat Conquest.
Isn't that how the girl from the Resident Evil movies got cast? Isn't her husband or boyfriend the director?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. That might be that it's I mean, she's always getting cast, so and I don't remember Mila Jovovich doing anything else now. They're not the fourth movie or something. Resident Evil Ultra 3D.
Was she the girl in Fifth Element, or is that someone else?
No, that's her. She's Lilu.
Okay.
Or Milu or whatever.
Yeah, Lilu.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
I love that movie. It's like gay Star Wars.
Pretty much. Exactly.
I heard that joke somewhere, and it's just the perfect description.
It's a big fag spectacle. Which, there's nothing wrong with it, you know. We gotta say.
It's entertaining, man. It's a fucking Bruce Willis classic.
It is. I mean, You know, there's very rare that when I watch an action movie with one of these characters, or even any kind of actor, that I remember the character name, but I will always remember Corbin Dallas.
That is a good one.
It's not just a cool name, it's also that they actually gave him a character, and it was actually funny. Like, I love when they were testing if you're human or not, or something like that. I love their vision of the future. It's something that I could actually imagine. The reverse cigarettes, like the filter is bigger than the cigarette itself.
And I like the cars and the traffic and like the drive.
Oh yeah, that was
the,
awesome.
The action sequence, the chase scene, and all that.
But I love like also the small things, like the cat. The cat was watching the TV and he was saying, "Don't let your brain." And the cat just looks so stupid. It had this stupid. I laugh my ass off every time I see that. This is, I think, one of the early LOL cats.
See, there's also a game that came out around the same time with Bruce Willis, Apocalypse, and the character's very similar. I think it's kind of a big, dumb action game, and it has Bruce Willis. Well, I think you would enjoy it a lot.
I like big, dumb action games.
It's a dual-stick shooter, like, gameplay-wise. It's kind of a post-apocalyptic future, sort of dystopian, and it's got Bruce Willis, and lots of Bruce Willis one-liners, and
it's kind of funny because then he's in the Armageddon movie and an Apocalypse game.
So, yeah. Like, you know, I enjoyed Bruce Willis's mid to late 90s work.
Oh, yeah, I love his stuff. I love, like, Die Hard, of course, and Last Boy Scout, that's a badass one. Didn't like, that one with the Da Vinci thing, whatever, it was very corny. It was like a big flop.
I don't think I know what you're talking about, so it must have been a real big flop.
It is a big flop. I watched it on Netflix. It sucks ass. Let me see here. It was actually a NES game released to that movie. And that sucked too.
Oh, Hudson Hawk.
Hudson Hawk, yeah.
Okay, Hudson. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It was like very corny. Yeah, it was very corny, over the top. I think he wanted to do it like one of the. There's so many worse offenses. Like his friend clearly dies in a car crash, and then he just comes back a little bit charred, and they wink at you all the time. They're like flipping you off, basically. Whatever. I mean, that's when he went down. And now he's just like, although I did enjoy him in The Surrogate. That was pretty good. Anyway.
I would have liked to see him have a bigger role in The Expendables. He's a legit action star.
Are you serious, man? They said Schwarzenegger, Willis. And like, seriously? They just talked and, okay, they made a good joke. But, okay, fine. Arnold, at that time, he was still in politics. But actually now, in the second one, he's going to have a bigger role. So
awesome.
He wants to do more filming again now.
I think he can't do politics no more.
He can't do politics. And but, yeah. That one shapes up to be better. They're going to have Van Damme now signed on for it. Because the reason why I didn't sign up...
I've always wondered what the fuck happened to him. He just stopped being in movies.
No, he's still in... He never stopped. It's, the difference is a straight-to-DVD shit. All of them. And not as... Although, I must say... Well, the last movie that was in theaters, I believe, that he was that one with that basketball dude.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. I think
Double Impact, maybe?
It was either Double Impact was the last. I remember his last big movie was The Quest, which was kind of cool. But it was.
I loved that movie. That is.
It was very much like Bloodsport, you know, just like it was like Street Fighter, how it should have been in a sense, you know, because it was like fighters from old. You see, movies that should have a video game, like The Quest. Where's The Quest video game?
Was a very entertaining film. I enjoyed it.
The Scottish guy gets punched in the balls? What? Come on, man. It's quite It's quite interesting of a movie. Yeah. Van Damme, the metrosexual action hero. One of his early roles was like, I remember, it's in this one movie called Breakin', and he's just like a extra, and the main characters are doing some kind of breakdance, and he's just on the side. And
I've seen that gif.
It is just dancing really, like, gay and stuff, although in the 80s, everybody looked freaking gay, seriously.
Yeah.
Even the hardcore metal dudes looked gay. I mean, everybody was wearing bling and shiny. Even the fucking hip-hop dudes. Well, maybe not, like, the ghetto style, you know. Anyway.
You know, originally, Mortal Kombat was going to be the Jean-Claude Van Damme game, right?
Yeah, because you know that Johnny Cage is
based
on Jean-Claude Van Damme. And it's kind of interesting because he's like... I always enjoy Johnny Cage from the first Mortal Kombat movie. In the series that they made now, they made him into the red. They made him into the green or the red ranger, basically. He's actually a Power Ranger in that movie, in that series.
Oh, that's shitty.
So his claim to fame was being in the Power Rangers series. And in the movie, he's actually an action star. Like, he's in big movies and shit. And the reason why he goes to the Mortal Kombat to prove that he can actually fight, not just fake it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you playing over there?
I'm not playing anything right now. I've been... You know what I figured out what I've been playing? I figured out... I got Fraps, finally. A version of Fraps where I can record my voice while I'm playing. And so I've been just doing Let's Plays, and I had fun with those. I uploaded two of them, just some random weird games. And I also played the one game that the angry video game nerd has Rolfed.
Rolfed?
Yeah, Alex came up with that
term. That's pretty
basically funny.
Oh, I get it. That's funny.
Yeah, you get it, right? But I'm just going to tell it to the audience. Basically, Alex has decided Rolfed means when the angry video game nerd reviews a game, basically just says, "Eat sacks, blah, blah, blah." And all these younglings, they say they hate it even more just because the nerd hated it and they never even played it. So what I do is I test if it was you know, wrongfully Rolfed. You know, that's a mouthful. And Dark Castle, the Sega... The Mega Drive version or the Genesis version, whatever, it does suck balls. But that was like a very late port of the game. Like originally, that game was way old when that port came out. And like the nerd never mentioned that. All he says, "This game sucks." And I know, he's not doing it for the reviews, but at least he could have mentioned it.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, if the game sucks, I mean, no matter what, you know, reasoning's behind it.
Well, the reasoning, what I'm talking about is that the first version was on the Macintosh. And I actually, yesterday I was working on getting the Macintosh emulator to work just so I can play Dark Castle. And it took for freaking ever, but I finally managed it. And I must say, it's still the same, and it still has its problems, and it's very hard, but it plays much more better. Because in his review, he said that with the joypad, it's very hard to walk around and aim and shoot at the same time. Because the way how you shoot is very weird. You basically move your arm up and down separately from your body, and then you can throw your stones with that. And that's your only attack. And it's very vital because you have a lot of these, you know, bats and rats that stand in your way. It's like a one-hit-kill game, more or less. And but on the Mac version, guess how the controls were?
Hmm.
It was the WASD, like, you know, how it's on the keyboard, and the mouse. You would actually aim, move, and shoot with the mouse, which I always found interesting because I think that was one of the earliest games, because that came out like in 86, and that was the earliest games that used the mouse and the keyboard in that way. Like, it was the earliest, like, not really run-and-gun game, but that used that type of control, because The game is still hard, and honestly, I didn't enjoy it that much, but I got better at it, and I could play it more. So it was somewhat enjoyable. And the graphics were also better, even though they were black and white, you know, the early Macintosh games and stuff. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a port comparison. That's kind of a show I want to do. I want to show how much the ports can differ of a game.
You probably know. I've got a couple of videos that compare different versions, like Lost Vikings, where I compared Genesis, Game Boy Advance, and Super Nintendo.
You see, like I want to do Lost Vikings, but what I'm going to do is I probably just stay short the other ones, but what I want to show is the Amiga version, because that is a good port, for example. But
The problem with it is there's no music. Or that might be a PC version, but I know one of the...
It's the DOS version then, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I saw one of my music. Half the reason why I love this Super Nintendo version is it's one of my favorite gaming soundtracks ever. It sounds gorgeous.
Oh, Amiga games have almost always music. There's certain games where you can have music or sound effects because they go on the same track, you know. But it depends on the game. If it's a good game, it has both. And usually it's better anyway just to turn on the music because the Amiga has some really it has a really good sound chip. I would say from the 16-bit generation, the two best sound chips would be the Super Nintendo and Amiga sound chip.
Yeah, I really like the Super Nintendo sound. I know all the Sega people love the sounds the Genesis or Mega Drive makes, but not me at all.
I like the Sega sound, but because I can recognize the Sega and it's kind of unique. But at the same time, it's in comparison to the Super Nintendo sound chip, it's like you can't even compare it because they use the same chip from the Master System to do the music, you know.
And it's not even that, like, I don't think the Genesis sounds inherently bad. It's just I like bass, and there's just a rich warmth. Yeah. There's a rich warmth to it as well. That
yeah, exactly, I that's what I always felt. Also, like, I had a Super Nintendo and I had an NES, and I love that with the sound of the Super Nintendo. It was I remember when we got Return of the Jedi as a kid. And we're so excited for the game. We got it actually the American version, and we had it was a little switch thing, you know. You would basically stick it into your console where the cartridge would go, and a converter basically, and then you would put the American game in front, and you would put the PAL game in the back, and then it would kind of, you know, jump over the switch, you know, and. The Star Wars theme was so good. It was just me and my brother were just watching it, and there was the intro, and it was so cool. And back then, the graphics were like really amazing, and we were always big, huge Star Wars fans. So we would always get the Return of the Jedi games because that was our favorite movie always.
Hell yeah! I'm one of the Return of the Jedi people too. Most people like Empire Strikes Back the most.
Oh, wait, no, I'm an idiot. We would always get the Empire Strikes Back.
See?
So, you see...
Everybody's all about the Empire Strikes Back. I like End of the Jedi.
You know, it's hard for me to choose, because I like I like Empire Strikes Back.
It's not even, like, a plot thing. It's just the visuals. I like the desert world, you know, Luke Skywalker's all emo now. He's dressed in black, and he has that robot hand and the green lightsaber. So it's more of
what I like a lot, too. And
yeah, it's just a visual thing. The treat for the eyes. I just like the way that movie looks.
Exactly. Like, what I think about in Return of the Jedi, I always liked, because Empire didn't have a true big battle on the end. You know, Star Wars, the first one had it, New Hope, and the third one had it. And yes, I'm going to say the third one, because the new ones can go kiss my ass. Basically, I always thought the second one was really cool, and of course, very emotional ending and everything. But in the third one, everything comes together, and it's a really nice... It's kind of hard to choose, but I think just if story-wise, I would say Empire would be the strongest, and Irvin Kershner did a really good directing job. But as you said already, visuals... Yeah, the Return of the Jedi, because that was the latest, and you could see already the difference between the first Star Wars and the
last.
Yeah,
and they had, you know, they had to have had more funding by then.
Oh,
After the two runaway hits, they had to have had
more funding. Yeah, the producers, like, gave him his checkbook, write in whatever number you want, and you get it, pretty much. Because I'm going to get the three times back anyway. I mean, it was like... That the term blockbuster was created. People don't understand. People always say this movie is a blockbuster. No, you don't understand. The official definition of a blockbuster is when so many people are in a row to see the movie that it actually is like multiple blocks long, and that's the blockbuster, because that's what happened with Star Wars. And yeah, that's all I'm gonna say. By the way. As a kid, if there's one video game that should have been made, and was kind of made, but it wasn't, like, commercially released, you remember the last Starfighter movie?
Oh, fucking love that movie.
I love that. Like, you know, there has been a lot of Star Wars ripoffs, but I don't really consider that a ripoff. It's the same genre, and it rides the wave with these other movies. But it doesn't rip it off in depth. It has some elements. It's space, it's a young guy, blah, blah, blah. But the guy is from a freaking trailer park and stuff. So he basically plays this video game. He cannot get to his college. He's like, you know, he doesn't have any hopes. But he has one skill. He can play this video game really good. And it turns out it's a training simulator. And then he becomes a starfighter, basically an elite space pilot.
Yeah, I like the Death Blossom move. It's so goofy, but awesome.
Dude. That movie was so corny, but it was the best kind of corny, you know, it was like,
computer-generated graphics in it are pretty sweet, too.
For the time, those were really awesome. That was the first movie since Tron that used the extensive CGI. That was the first space movie that used the CGI spaceship instead of models. I think they used some models when the spaceship was landing and shit, and they would come out.
It was a lot of fun. That's what a lot of people don't realize, man. Sometimes a movie can just be fucking fun.
Oh, yeah. I love Centauri, too, and everything. And what I really don't understand, the arcade game. As a kid, I thought it really existed, that it was released. They actually built the arcade, but it cost a shit ton of money. I think it cost, like, even for arcade, it cost, like, $20,000 per arcade. Because those 3D graphics were really high-end at the time. But the game
there's
was
this,
like...
I mean, I wish I knew more about it, but there's this arcade game that everybody claims exists, but it's like an urban legend.
And it's supposed to...
Yeah, like, the Men in Black come and get you if you play it or some shit.
They were smoking crack and watching Last Starfighter, and then they were watching Matrix or something, and then they jumbled together, and then they found that. Yeah, that story, I read about it. That's like the weirdest urban legend I've ever heard about.
I think I probably got notes written down, notes about it written in my Mondo Cool TV notebook that I write shit down in.
You told me about that. That was a...
It's weird. There's a lot of cool stories out there, man.
But there was this one guy, basically, I found, and that's what I remember. He actually built the Last Starfighter game. He programmed it exactly like it was, and he built the arcade. Although, he made it kind of skinnier for some reason, but he still made the arcade, you know.
Is there a ROM out there somewhere?
Yeah, you can actually download the game. I tried to play it, but it didn't work for me. I will after the show, I'm going to look through my bookmarks. I have it bookmarked. Because as a kid, oh my God, I wanted to play that game so bad, you know. And I don't understand why they said it was too expensive, but it would have been the best marketing. But whatever.
Yeah, maybe the movie didn't make that much money.
I think at first... It didn't make enough to warrant it, I believe. It did okay, but it didn't do great. I think it didn't make enough, because that's why they didn't do a second one, because they were pretty much developing it so that there should be a second one, you know. And, but whatever. That's that. So What games have you been playing recently?
I've gotten in a bunch of review codes lately, so the two biggest things that just slid across my desk, King of Fighters 96, I mentioned earlier, and fucking, what else? Metal Slug 2, and they both have online modes, which are a lot of fun to go through. And also got another game. It's called OMGZ, and it's like a sort of arcade strategy shooter. You're this sniper in a zombie outbreak. Yeah, it's really cool. It's a real tiny game. It's on PSN for $3.50. And you have like a limited amount of shots. And there's different types of zombies. So like if you shoot an acid zombie, there'll be an acid puddle and it'll take out nearby zombies. So what you try to do is, with as few shots as possible, take out, you know, like hundreds of zombies. And it's it's really satisfying when you, like, just get a lucky shot and wipe out every zombie and they all explode and shoot themselves and dissolve into acid. And
that reminds me of Left 4 Dead 2. They have also an acid zombie, the spitter, and
the big fat one that explodes.
The boomer. Yeah.
I would say that, you know, those zombie classes are well represented in this game, but it's a, like, black and white little 2D game, and like the minis line on the PlayStation Network are kind of in response to iOS games, so they're like real small, real cheap.
Yeah, they're like the games that Steam is releasing. Steam is also that kind of head-to-head, in a sense, because Steam is also releasing a lot of small indie games and stuff, and so is Gamersgate and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see this, you know, smaller market emerging so that it's, you know, it's nice to have the variety. Not everything has to be a big budget, you know, has the latest, greatest realistic physics engine 3D space drama. It's nice to see some simplistic shit.
Yeah, I think as much as there's going to be, you know, the Battlefield 3, which is not a big game and stuff, it's like so overhyped now. And like War Crisis or whatever there is now out. As much as there's gonna be this push for this realistic, more realistic gameplay, or like realistic, and I mean realistic looking.
Yeah.
Not realistic as in realistic, because let's be fair here.
Because Desert Bus is the most realistic game ever made. And
exactly.
It's not exactly the funnest game ever made.
Because, as I said, I've seen this really good Dean Modi poster, and there was this kid, and he has a mouse and keyboard in front of a window, and then the sign says, "Real life, awesome graphics, shitty gameplay."
Yeah.
And Desert Bus, yeah, long play. As I started doing long plays, I was thinking what kind of games I could do, and I was thinking what, out of our circle of friends, what kind of long plays have everyone made? I know you did the Desert Bus. Have you ever actually finished a Desert Bus challenge? I don't think you did, right? I mean,
I did. I got 1 point. So I mean, I made the full 8-hour trip. The time flew. Like, I was screwing around in a chat room, so like, you know, you could pretty much play the game with one hand. You don't really have to. You don't really have to focus on it, and you know, as long as you have the sound up, you could hear if you were dragging in the sand. So, you know, I've been thinking about this for a long time, just doing it again and streaming it live. And
that would be a cool idea.
Just because I didn't have the setup to accommodate that when I first did it. But it's a long challenge, man. Like, I had sandwiches and drinks prepared and, like, a fucking coffee can to piss in. Because you can't leave for 8 hours. Like, you're there for 8 hours. And
oh, man. No more coffee out of that coffee can, huh?
I believe it was just, like, a big plastic cup from a gas station. But
one of those, right?
Yeah, you know, like, 48 ounces of...
Yeah, big gulp, 7-Eleven. Yeah. It's kind of funny, since I've been in Europe, I had to be... I got used to the smaller sizes of everything here. That's what she said. but yeah, the drinks and everything. Yeah, I was just thinking, there's so many games I want to do a Let's Play of, because it's really fun, because I've been trying to do the reviews and everything, and kind of burned out on that, and I'm still going to do the reviews, but with Let's Play, it's just, I don't even edit it. I just, like, talk and play, and that's it, and I slap it up, and if you like it, you like it, and if not, not.
Yeah, see, I always intend to do that. Like, whenever I play games, it's not hard for me to stream them. It's just a matter of turning it on, but I never really think about it, and then it's like, well, fuck, I'm already playing the game. I don't care.
Yeah. It's kind of like with me when I start playing a game and I'm thinking, I should do some footage of that, and then I say, it might get a little laggy, and that would be kind of annoying, and then blah, blah, blah. But no more such excuses.
Since I've been getting games for review, you know, a lot of people seem to think that if you're obligated to play a game, it takes away the fun. But I've actually been enjoying it more, which is something I think's weird. Like, I've been making sure to, like, stick with the game until I beat it. And I've been, like, getting more and more satisfaction out of games now that I have, like, you know, a slight amount of obligation to get a review out. And
see, I've just gotten one review copy, and that's the Runespell Overture. And apparently I wasn't the only person, because I checked. Everybody else did one, including Trey Chat. I'll admit, not hard on the eyes, but also, hey, look at me, I'm a girl, I play WoW, and I have boobs, yay!
Was she on the PSN show, The Tester, or something?
She's War Princess, or Princess Warrior, or whatever. And I think they thought these guys, the producers thought a trade chat doesn't sound gamer enough, I guess.
It doesn't, because I don't get what that has to do with video games.
I don't know either.
I assume it's some WoW bullshit that I don't care about.
Yeah. I tried WoW once, the free trial. I got up to level 9, I got bored, I never touched it again.
No, not even worth my time to download.
City of Heroes has become free again, so I played that and I enjoyed that, because I played that back in the day. But it's a fun game. And, like, what I really enjoy in it is the character creation screen. Like, you have a lot of options. Although now it's like microtransactions, so some of the options you gotta buy and stuff. But it's a pretty fun game. What was I thinking? By the way, I have you in the show notes. I wanted to ask you something already a long time ago, since you had a little bit of booze in you, and you're basically a connoisseur, or used to be at least, from the Insane Clown Posse, right?
Yes.
Okay. I know that the Magnets album was the thing that, like, turned them off to you.
Oh, well, I was long, long since, you know, it's been a lot of years since they've made anything good. It's probably been 10 years since they've made something good,
man.
So it's been about 2001, 2002 since they've made anything worth plopping down some cash for.
Yeah, so I've been checking out their wiki, I guess, because I didn't really know that much. I knew once a guy who was a juggalo on a forum RPG, nonetheless, and he basically just named himself, I believe, after one of the characters, I guess, from the show.
See, the weird thing about juggalos, man, they'll have their own stupid little nicknames. Like, I've got this whole subset of friends that are all juggalos. KFC, Smog, Killa Kelly. Like, all this, you know, that's just how I know them as, so.
Also, I found out the specific genre of Insane Clown Posse is, like, horrorcore rap.
Yes. You could call it that.
Yeah, that's how it was written in Wiki, but that's since Wiki. I think the closest I listened to that was, like, listened to a lot of types of really hardcore metal.
If you jump into it. If you jump into it on your own, you're going to listen to a lot of doo-doo. because you're probably going to hear the shit that's been made in the past 10 years, not the 20-year-old shit that was fucking brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I went, like, with Shintai, he expressed some interest. I'm like, okay, man, I'll throw you some specific songs and see what you think. And he was enjoying the shit. He was digging it and thought it sounded good. And, but if he heard fucking Miracles, you know, he would have the same reaction as anyone with a fucking, you know, functioning
brain.
How
do magnets work, Gary? Do you know? It's magic.
I read an interview, and they explain it, and I get what they're saying, and I get it now. And it's what they're getting at is they're admiring the beauty of the natural world. They don't want to hear an explanation. You know, when you go out and you look at the stars, do you think, wow, that's really pretty? Or do you think, oh, wow, those are flaming balls of plasma that are billions of light years away? You don't think all that science shit. You think, wow, that fucking giraffe, that's crazy. It looks nuts. You
like,
don't, you know.
What I think with the stars, I mean, I think that knowing stuff about them, I think it can actually make it even cooler. Like, for example, other stars, it's like, I imagine that, hey, there could be another solar system and another Earth there, and I think that's pretty cool. And somebody
absolutely, I agree with that. I like to go out with my binoculars and look at the sky on clear nights, and I enjoy that space shit. I like the fact that the universe at any moment could kill us.
Right, exactly.
Did you know there are black holes that are moving through the universe? So at any fucking minute, a black hole could just come through and, you know, destroy the planet, and you wouldn't even know it because time would fucking stop, and you'd.
That would slow down
space shit
first, and then it would stop eventually once we get to the thing. But we wouldn't get any of that, I guess. And there's so many, like, what is it, like, not even ion storms, but like solar flares.
Yeah, right? You know, electromagnetic radiation. There could be a fucking burst of radiation from the sun and fry an entire side of the planet.
You see, that's the biggest problem with space travel is that we can put people in a spaceship and we can even, you know, fly. We could technically even fly. If we can figure out how to freeze people, then we could technically fly anywhere with enough time. But the problem is the radiation, you know. Unless they find a better shielding against radiation, we're not going to get anywhere near anywhere.
Well, the long-term effects of zero gravity are devastating.
That's the other thing, so.
I mean, there's, like, once you've been in a spaceship for 2 years, if you came on Earth, your heart would explode from being weak as shit.
Well, that's why I think what they're going to do is, and they have predicted it, that it's going to be basically robots in space and finding planets that are habitable and then coming back and, or sending back a message. And
yeah.
Only, like, going to those planets if there is actually a place there to be.
Look how far we've come in the past 150 years. We've gone from horses to trains to airplanes to dudes on the moon. So who knows what 200 years from now.
I always say, like, technically after science, there's one way how you can go faster than light without breaking the laws of science, and that's the warp bubble. And after the calculations, it works. Just nobody knows how to make a warp bubble.
Now, do you see how awesome ICP is that it spun off into a fucking science conversation?
You know what I think, actually? What I found interesting about it is that they have like, expanded in many ways. Like, and they made their own mythology. Now, I might not enjoy the music that much. I listen to it. I might enjoy it. I will pick out
some good songs that are enjoyable for entertainment value, for message, and for the story. Those are the three main things. They have songs that are about pollution. They have songs that are about the death penalty. They have, you know, the mythology of the Dark Carnival is that God, with all of his infinite power, is using the power of hell to punish the sinners. With this evil carnival that travels the fucking land, punishing evil people. And it's a really cool story. It's a really religious experience if you actually listen to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And most people say dick, fuck, fart, rape, and oh god, this is the worst thing in the universe.
Like, one of my favorite, like, I'm more of a metal dude than you. I'm not against, like, hip-hop if I do enjoy it and stuff. Busta Rhymes, who listen to what is it, Dr. Dre, some Eminem, I do listen to at times. I usually listen to, like, as I said, metal and rock. But one of my favorite genres right now, subgenres of metal, is the, like, power metal. And because it's very hardcore, yet it has awesome and epic lyrics, very much inspired by different, like for example, mythology and even science fiction. Like, it's just, like, very epic, and also a lot of, what is it, like, Norse gods and shit. It just depends on the power metal band. There are some that are, every power metal band finds some kind of niche. Some are more dark, you know, some are more, like, horror style or whatever. Like, they're more, like, on the dark metal or black metal side. Some do it, like, straight up fantasy, like Rhapsody of Fire. Like, they sing of dragons and dwarves and everything, and all that shit. It's pretty
awesome. Yeah.
But yeah.
So, I mean, if you know what to listen to, there's entertaining songs, there's interesting story, and overall positive message if you know what they're getting at. But then you have a song like Miracles, and that completely ruins that. It actually takes away from the genius that was, you know, ICP from, like, 1992 to 1999.
Yeah. I knew kind of about ICP in a sense that I heard, like, I've seen some people on YouTube and stuff, and I think that might have been a little bit turning me off, because there's always, like, people, like, trolling each other, like, they would fight and stuff and argue. And I'm like, well... But I kind of, like, judged it too far. The thing is, actually, what I wanted to ask you is, did you know that they actually also released a series of comic books?
Yes, I have them, The Pendulum. Violent J's older brother, Jump Steady, wrote the story for that, and each issue of the comic came out with a single, had a CD with one song, so you collected all 12 of them, and you got the entire album, and the cover art on them made, like, this real big picture, and that's back when they were still making things that were worth being a part of.
I like this kind of stuff, because that's something that a lot of rock bands do, like Kiss, you know, they do, like, comic books, and they kind of branch out. They kind of create a mythology around them, as I said. Power metal does that, and a lot of different types of metal and rock. Hip-hop, I haven't seen that too much.
See, you know, you have groups that, you know, they have a concept album.
Okay.
The entire group, all of their albums formed one big story. The six tropes cards.
Exactly, yes. That's definitely a concept album. That's also what interested me.
And it's like a concept group.
Exactly.
You know, in that it's a story that spans six albums. And
that's what I'm also really saying. And that's what I'm also saying. There's also certain power metal bands that not just have, like, a style, like, they, like Manowar, they sing, like, more or less only, like, all of their songs are inspired by Norse mythology and metal culture. But there's other bands that actually are telling a story in a sense, you know, like, there's one band that is inspired by Lord of the Rings, and they actually have a song for the different events in Lord of the Rings, and so on and so forth, you know, I mean, I always enjoyed a concept in a band. It's not just like, hey, we are the... Okay, what's our name? We are the Dickheads. Yay, we are the Dickheads. Let's play some shitty indie rock Blink 182... The 340th Blink 182 ripoff. Have you noticed that a lot of bands sound like Blink 182 after they came?
Yeah.
Like, it would be just this constant, like... shredding the guitar mindlessly and just yelling some kind of mindless words, I guess. Well, at least Blink, they had some funny lyrics at times, I guess. But yeah, not really a concept group there either.
I mean, do you have any other questions in the show notes there?
Yeah, I definitely do. Let me see. I'm just thinking. I wrote a crap ton of them. Oh, yeah, here we go. I'm just going to throw this out there. I asked that from Alex, too. If you could have two entities, imaginary or real, fight each other, who would you pair up, and who would you think would win? It can be anybody from any time, any... It might be a little bit too broad of a question.
That is an amazing question. I would like to see Optimus Prime fight a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
And who do you think would win?
Optimus goddamn Prime.
Of course he would, but it would be an awesome fight. Unless the Tyrannosaurus transforms into Megatron and then kills him. One of the GoBots.
That really works.
When he transforms into the GoBots, then Optimus Prime definitely wins. Because the GoBots are the cheap-ass transformers.
I really like what you did with the T-Rex turning into Megatron. That's excellent.
It's like the Beast Wars show, I guess.
Yes, that's very excellent.
I approve of that because it has Beast in it. Although, I personally didn't watch that much Transformers. And then it goes into another question I've written down here. Is that... you pretty much answered it. So what was, like, your favorite... Basically, when you were a kid, you know how they marketed cartoons and toys together?
Yeah.
And also video games and everything? Which one do you feel was the best comp? Which one do you feel had either the better toy or the better cartoon?
Better toy? Transformers were some of the best toys ever made. But it's a really shitty cartoon. Each one's just a different commercial for, you know, a new character.
To be fair, they had some interesting storylines.
Oh, there's a lot of good science fiction.
And every cartoon on those days, to this day, is a commercial for the toys.
But not as blatant as Transformers, man. We got this new toy. Let's introduce this character for exactly one episode.
He-Man was pretty bad in that, too.
Yeah.
Although a lot of the vehicles weren't used in this show. And a lot of the characters that were toys didn't actually appear in the show.
I think Beast Wars is an infinitely better cartoon. It has a good storyline that goes from season to season. It builds on the legacy and actually makes you care about the characters.
Oh, yeah. By the way, the other question I had about the Saturday morning, like, I wanted to say, I always enjoyed as a kid, I always enjoyed He-Man. But the cartoon is admittedly pretty gay at a lot of points, especially when there's the Prince Adam scenes. But the toys were freaking awesome. That's all I wanted to say. What was it again? They have the adaption craze of movies where they adapt anything they can get their hands on. Not anymore books. Like, it's also comics, video games, toys, and also now board games, I suppose. What did you think of the two toy franchises that have been made into movies? Transformers, your favorite as a kid, and G.I. Joe.
The Transformers movie, the first one, I thought was a really good movie. Not like, just good. Not great, awesome, or amazing, but it was good.
Yeah, I think it was like... For me, it was good one time. I actually enjoyed it more because I think, I was pretty drunk at the time. So I was like, yeah, this is awesome, man. Explosions. I think I have lowered my brain to the level where this is awesome. So.
Well, I actually cared. When Jazz got killed and ripped in half, mm-hmm. and Megatron actually had a good line when he ripped them in half, but... I cared that Jazz died. They made me care about a CGI cartoon, and good on
that. That was good. You see, I think the first one was better because Steven Spielberg had still more say in that.
I thought Transformers 2 was the biggest steaming pile of shit I've ever seen.
I mean, I saw
that day one in theaters, and I was pissed.
You weren't the only one. I mean, when I went into that movie 2.5 hours later, I was like, well, all I can remember is I seen a bunch of robots that looked like, you know how there is a magnet and it like pulls up the giant magnets that are like cranes?
Yeah, and it pulls up just a bunch of scrap metal.
That's how all the Transformers look like.
Especially Devastator. I describe Devastator as looking like a pile of mashed potatoes and tits.
I couldn't recognize anyone. The only people only Transformers I could recognize was Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Megatron, and Starscream. Everybody else was like piles of things. Oh, he transforms into a tank. Oh, okay, whatever. And then what I didn't get is, like, oh, is the freaking soldiers, like, focusing on. I mean, I'm not against soldiers or anything. It's cool and stuff. But this is the movie about the Transformers.
Yeah.
It's not the movie
to a movie about Transformers called Transformers to see humans.
When I was a kid, in all of these cartoons, you remember also Transformers, Mask, and in all of the freaking cartoons, even the Dinosaurs, which was Transformers with anthropomorphic dinosaurs. It was the same shits, exactly. They had always sidekick kids, you know? And I hated them. I think everybody hated them. The producers thought, oh, the kids can connect with them. You know, it's like they are like friends with the guys. And I said, no, the kids want to be the giant Tyrannosaurus or giant robot killing things.
There's a reason there were no Spike Witwicky action figures. No one gave a fuck about that guy. Period.
I didn't even know the name. Oh, Unmasked. The shittiest figure was the little kid with the stupid robot who was... Oh, there was always a kid sidekick, and always a mascot.
Yeah.
Like, only two good mascots.
So that you could relate to it.
You could relate to it. You had the kid to relate to, and you had basically the animated pet, the animated plushie, so they could make plushies. Like, every cartoon had one, and Masco was a little stupid robot. Maybe Transformers didn't have one, but every other one.
Bumblebee was the stupid, cute little robot that palled around with the human kid. That's what Bumblebee is.
Okay, fair enough, but, you know, at least Bumblebee can still kick, you know, ass, I guess. You know? And there is, the two only mascots that I liked as a kid, and I still like, is Orko from Masters of the Universe, because he's a freaking troll. Like, he is. He just annoys everyone, but it's funny. It's actually genuinely funny, and he never can do a spell. That's one that actually worked. And Snarf from Thundercats.
All right, man, I'm going to have to run away right now.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for joining us. I had still a couple of questions, but then another time.
Yeah, we can get to those in a little bit. I got to go, like, help someone with something.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, later, man.